Indeed. Well, Coach, we haven't spoke since the SEC tournament in 14. That's the last time I talked to you was then.
Okay.
Yeah, but it's been a while, but I'm glad to get you on the show, man. I'm happy for your success out there at Tulsa, man. You're doing a great job out there.
Well, I appreciate that, man. God is good. I've been blessed, man. And, you know, I've had some good opportunities in my career, and I like where we're at here right now. Obviously, you know, it takes time to build it, and I feel good about where we're at in terms of how we built it and what our squad is doing. So hopefully we can continue with the consistency. But obviously this year is going to be a little crazy, right? You know, with all the stuff that's going on and trying to have a season. And but we're working. I'm excited about what our guys are doing, trying to give ourselves a chance. You know, and that's all you hope for and pray for, that you guys are doing the right thing. So
now, Coach, you guys have had 18 wins at least 5 years, 6 seasons at Tulsa. So that, for me, tells me you set a great foundation, a great culture there at Tulsa, because a great tradition that Tulsa has. So how do you feel about knowing you set a culture there and you've won where you've won since you've been there?
Well, you know, we took this job, JR. We, you know, it was in Conference USA, and they were joining this conference and the American Conference. And I felt like, you know, we had a chance, you know, because there's been some, you know, great coaches that have coached here, from Nolan Richardson to, you know, Bill Self, Tubby Smith, but they were different part of time in their careers. They were just starting their careers. I came in to a team, a program, where it was a building block for coaches and wanted to take it to another level as we joined this conference, a multi-bid league. Because they were always in a single-bid league, you know, whether it was Conference USA or when they were in the Mountain West or the Valley. So I was excited about the opportunity and the challenges that comes with playing in a multi-bid league with the likes of UConn or Memphis or Cincinnati and Temple. So, but a lot of people don't know this. Since we've been in the league 6 years, we've always finished. We won the third most games, conference games in this league, behind Houston and Cincinnati. So we've been consistently good. I'm very proud of that. And you know, we had a team last year that won the league, you know, and which was, you know, we were picked 10th and we win the league. And it was unfortunate that it was a situation where we didn't have a chance to play in postseason, because that would have been our third postseason team, I think, would have gotten to the postseason and done well. And like, I think this year's team is very, very good. So hopefully, Lord willing, we'll have a chance to get to the NCAA tournament and have an opportunity.
Now, Coach, let's go back to March 11th. That was my birthday when everything kind of just went straight to you know what. Kind of everything went bad. So how where were you guys at, and how did you have to tell your team that the season was over with and get them to get home safely and go from being on campus to virtual learning and keeping their grades up while in the middle of a pandemic?
You know, it was extremely hard, boss man. We were in Dallas, Fort Worth, ready, preparing for AAC tournament. And, you know, words started trickling around with these other conferences were canceling their tournaments. And so we met with our guys that morning and told them that we were heading back. And not knowing, I think on the drive back, we got wind of, you know, all tournaments being canceled, all postseason being canceled. Because there was some thought that maybe we'll still have some type of postseason at that point in time. And then as we got back to the to Tulsa, we got in the locker room and we had to give the news to our guys. I mean, it was emotional, I will be honest with you, because our guys were very excited about where we're at in terms of in our season with our team, in terms of how we were playing. And we felt like we could have done some damage in postseason because of the way we were playing. But having to deliver that to our guys was difficult. And then keep our guys focused to finish up, as you mentioned, academically in the right path, and then look to the future. You know, we had two seniors on that team that were very critical to our success, and then that was the emotional part. And you know, it's funny, when we got back here, when we started practice the other day, I reminded our guys I said, listen, guys, 200 and some days ago, we were hit with this pandemic, and what happened. I learned a lot from this pandemic, and I think you should have too. And what we learned is, don't take anything for granted, right?
Sure.
Because anything could change. You know, we saw our lives take a huge turn 200 some days ago where we didn't control it. Like going out to play ball, going to the gym to hoop was no issue. And now all of a sudden that was taken from us. You know, me taking my wife out to dinner, that was no issue. But now all of a sudden things change. And I said, for what we could learn from this pandemic is embrace opportunity and do not take things for granted. And I thought it was, it was good to get our guys to focus on that, because the young people, they don't, and we are guilty as it too, not just young people, of taking things for granted.
Yes, sir. Yes, coach, you're so right about that. For me, traveling is my thing. Covering NBA, covering college basketball. I haven't left Atlanta since March 11th, my birthday. I haven't left. So we're in November now. So just think how that, going to dinner, like you said, going out to eat. Just doing simple things like going to a store, wearing a mask. Now, just because of the wild world, like you said, we don't control none of this stuff. And I think it's good to remind the Lord, showed us again, He's always in control, not us. Nature takes its course. No matter what we try to do as humans, nature still rules the day, no matter what we try.
That's right. That's right.
And now, Coach, senior year academically wise, I know you're Tulsa Great School Academics. I know you're big on that. So how's your academic advisor and assistant coaches keep your young men grounded through the blackboard systems and keeping them on task and holding them accountable when they're not on campus with you, and that structures you have study halls? And how do y'all go about it to make sure your young men's GPA stay high over the spring and summer semesters here?
Well, we're very involved. I think you look at my track records, not just here at Tulsa, but at Miami and Missouri as a head coach. I mean, I think we're somewhere around, we've graduated every kid we've ever coached up until only like three kids. So, and that's like 67 out of 70 or something. So we're very big about getting our guys in position to graduate. And, this was unique in terms of, learning is virtual, it's a combination of both in person. We require, our study hall time is over here with us in our environment where we is structured a little bit. We're just making sure our guys are, there's checks and balances. Each one of our players have a academic coach that they meet with weekly to go over their syllabi and what they have to do that week. I think there's a tremendous amount of communication, helping our guys through it in terms of making sure they got the tutors and things they need, because we all know, and that piece of paper is so important in their success. And because at some point in time, that air comes out of that ball, and they have to have something to fall back on. And so we don't we stress this when we're recruiting, Bossman. We say we don't want kids to come to school to play ball. We want kids to come to school and play ball. And so
Sir.
academics is extremely, extremely important to what we hope we give to them. And I would want our kids to say, I learned how to be a better basketball player, but I also learned life skills at Tulsa from with Coach Haith and his structure and or infrastructure. And I think that's really important to me, that we give that to them.
And Coach Hayes, how did you all go about keeping their minds sharp with what's going on around us with the pandemic, racial injustice, and on the Zoom calls you had? Because I know young men, 18 to 24 years old, that can hit them a different way. Now, I'm in my 30s. I know you're in your 50s, so we kind of can deal with some stuff better than they can right now. So how'd you keep
Right.
their minds sharp and free and clear as things around them was going haywire?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing is communication. And I did a lot of, spending time talking about all the things that we're hit with. And, mental health is such an important, it's so critical right now with these young people and with everybody, because we're all hit with some things that is there's two different type of pandemics, right? There's the social injustice, there's the pandemic, the virus. And but I wanted to make sure our guys are, we're educating them and we're talking about it, because when the George Floyd thing happened, kids' minds are all over the place, and how they looked at it, how they viewed it. There was obviously everybody was angry, there was upset. And it's the same old thing over and over again. And I have a personal issue with, back in 2006, my nephew was killed by police violence in New York, Sean Bell. And so I spent a lot of time talking to our guys about, how we handle. And I thought this time, because of the good communication, and because of the good education, because of the willingness of people that don't look like you and I to listen, it was different. And but I encourage everyone involved. Fatigue always sets in and we stop doing it. I think we've got to be continually be have great endurance, continue to educate, continue to grow, because we still see a lot of things happening today that are disappointing, discouraging. But I think we've got to keep driving forward. And, you know, but the biggest thing to go back to your question is we have to, as leaders of our program, continue to be out front and educating our student athletes about and being great listeners, because you know everybody comes from different backgrounds, different environments. Yes, but so we got to make sure we're not just driving home things, we're being great listeners, and then we're giving them good feedback.
And coach, you know, since George Floyd happened, I just made my show more about political things, more than I do sports, of course, but I want to talk about the issues that I know is 33-year-old black men in Atlanta, Georgia, you know, trying to get people educate what happened, to look over my shoulder, drive a little bit slower, you know, being careful about where I go, when I don't do it, how I do it, what I move, how I say, and you know, listen, understand, hey, yeah, you love me for covering the sports, but also when I'm not on the radio and the air, I have a lot of love to this to deal with. I use my show coach for good so I can help the community of Atlanta from Chattanooga to make it understand, hey, it's more to it than what you think it is. Beyond these sports, these guys, we're people, right? And there are things that go on that you don't quite understand because of you might not see it because you're in your silo. But there's a lot of stuff going on in this world. It's bad. And if you just listen to us and listen with empathy, like you mentioned, coach, we could all come together to understand each other better going forward. So it won't be this divide that we have right now in our country.
Yeah, and I think you make a point, you know, platform. We all have a platform, and that's why I was so proud of what the WNBA and the NBA utilized in their platform when they got a lot of slack from certain folks. But we as you know, black folks, we're proud of that, how they utilize their platform to speak on some of the things that are going on and draw awareness and attention to it. And that goes back to my comment about the endurance, and we can't get fatigued. And I applaud both those organizations for doing what they did through the playoffs. And but it must not stop now. We gotta keep going. You know, I'm part of a group of folks that Black Coaches United is an organization that, and we're actually gonna launch this week. But myself, John Thompson III, Tubby Smith, Leonard Hamilton, Paul Hewitt, we're all the founders of this group, and we're still utilizing our platform to help educate other coaches of color, to be mentors for coaches of color, and to continue to do what we need to do. Now, you mentioned I'm in my 50s, man. I hate that. You know, people, I'm still in my wheelhouse, so I'm still moving. And, but I think we got some young coaches that we want to be there for them as they grow in this business.
And now, coach, also this coach, thinking about this for your young men and their health, how'd you all kind of approach them for staying in shape when they're back at home in their own environments with the strength and conditioning coach and keeping those young men kind of in semi-shape and get back to, so you want to start so much from scratch, prevent those injuries, soft tissue injuries from lingering all year long for us and having a knee, ankle, hamstring, something you don't want to have all year long. So how'd you all manage your young men in that regard, ramping them back up here?
Well, we had a great strength coach, and a guy named David Dietz is sent a lot of information to our guys in terms of giving them a foundation to train a little bit before they got here. The challenge we have in front of us, boss man, is that when, you know, you have a positive test within your team and then you have contact tracing, you have guys that are in quarantine and then guys get shut down and then they come back to your team. That's when you know, this concern. I mean, I worry about that from a, you know, you just talked about it. If you lose, like, is anything, if you stop conditioning, stop performing, you're going to lose a lot of things. Then you come back to competitiveness, you're not right. So that's not healthy. And so we've got to do a good job. And hopefully the CDC gets in connection with these universities that when, if a kid does test positive, he can still find a way to stay in shape, to continue to so when he comes back to your team, he's not completely start from scratch again, and then you have more issues with them if you do that. So there's got to be some type of understanding how we maintain that with our young people. But we did a good job of helping our guys grow, build a foundation before they got to us. And we've been very fortunate. We haven't had a lot of positive tests, so we haven't had a knock on wood when I say that, a lot of stoppage with our development within our team, because these 10 days, 14 days, it's going to make it very difficult to have a season this year. And we're still, you know, it's very fluid. We're still growing through how we're going to try to play. And there's things that come out daily that we're trying to figure out. The testing portion of it, I think, is going to be critical to how we get to the wood. You know, is it going to be daily testing? Is it going to be the saliva test? Is it going to be the PCR test? You know, there's a lot of communication back and forth trying to figure all this out.
Now, Coach, speaking of scheduling, I know it's probably been a headache for trying to get games right now because, you know, those 2 weeks are gone. And November 25th is the start date now. And so how's that been trying to get games and getting guys to come in and play you guys or play in the MCEs? Or how's that been going for you?
Well, it's been great for us. We actually are in good shape. I think we just don't have a home opener because we have a team drop out. But we're planning an MTE in Kansas City with TCU, South Carolina, and Northwestern and ourselves. So that we're excited about that. And then all of our other games are regional in terms of Arkansas's coming to our building. We've got three other games here. So we got six games scheduled before conference play, and we're playing 20 league games. So we upticked our conference games because we felt like as a conference, that's the safest way to get through the season is playing teams that's going to test like you. And so we increased that number to 20. And then we got six non-league, we can have seven non-league games, but we have six at this moment. And we're trying to figure out if we're going to play another one or not. But all that is unique, right? Because everybody has their schedule done by August or September. And then we are in November still talking about trying to figure out our schedule. Yeah. But I feel like from talking to my coaching peers, we're in as good a shape as anybody right now and where we're at. And, you know, we're just ready to get going. And hopefully from between now and that 25th, that start day, we stay healthy and we get an opportunity to compete.
So listen, in Atlanta, who don't understand about the AAC, it's a deep conference from top to bottom. There's no easy outs. And, you know, from East Carolina over to you guys at Tulsa, man, it's a hard out. And Memphis is coming up, South Florida, Brian Gregory, UCF, a giant dog. I mean, you just named all the coaches in that conference, man. The teams are tough to play. Talk about for our listeners who don't know about the AAC like the way you and I do, how tough the league is every night, home or away.
Well, I tell you, we've got a tremendous league, and you know, you just mentioned a few of them, but Coach Sampson's a Hall of Famer guy at Houston, I think, and you know, Houston to SMU to Wichita State, you know, Greg Marshall over there and you know, it is every time you lace them up, you got to be ready to play. And the thing I love about this league, I mean, it's a multi-bid league. You know, we just lost UConn, and UConn's in this league too. But from even with the loss of UConn, I think our league is as good as there is in the country. I look at some of the things that our league have done. I mean, when we play the quote-unquote Power Five schools, the success we've had against those teams. You know, just last year, 2 years ago, we played K-State, we played Oklahoma State, and we've had great success against those teams. And you know, Wichita State's played Oklahoma and Oklahoma State. We've had great success against those teams and you know, because there's great coaches in this league. And I think that's the one thing that attracted me 6 years ago to this league was the type of coaching, the challenges you have when you play, you know, mentioned the Florida schools. Johnny and I are great friends at Central Florida, and Brian's done a great job. And I think he's going to have his best team this year over at South Florida. So, Brian. So it's a league that you got to be ready to play. You lace them up night in, night out. You got to be ready to play against great coaching and great talent.
Two more for you, Coach. So one of them is how is recruiting via Zoom for you guys this year? I know you want to see a guy in person, in relationship with a parent, being in the home. So how is recruiting via Zoom, the virtual tours of the campus? How did that for you and your staff this time around? Is that something you keep on doing down the road?
It is. I think it's going to be. It's taught us all a way to recruit a little bit. You know, I'm one of those guys that's not real tech savvy. You know, I mean, I can barely put gas in my car. So it's taught me how to learn how to be a little bit more, you know, understanding. You know how this thing works, and I'm excited about it. I think we were able to finish up recruiting without it. You know, so I do see with this technology, we've all learned how to, you know, the virtual tours and spending time with Zoom calls, that it may, you know, give us an opportunity to change our calendar from a recruiting standpoint, not be out so many days. Because I know the coaches, once we start our season, don't really like leaving our program as much. And so because of the pandemic and the virus, and because of, you know, us learning a new way to recruit, I could see the NCAA and the NABC coming together and limiting our days out away from our team to allow us to be on campus more. And I could see that in the near future with what we're doing from a recruiting standpoint because of the experiences we get, we've learned through this pandemic.
That's one for coaches. I was talk about who have been some key coaches in your life that helped you grow as a coach and as a man and help mold you as you grow in this business the way you are today at head coach of Tulsa Golden Hurricane.
Well, you know, Bossman, I've worked with some really, really good people. You know, I go back to my time at, you know, Dave Odom at Wake Forest, or Rick Barnes at Tennessee, I worked with at Texas. Tony Brony, the late Tony Brony, who was the head coach of Texas A&M, or Jerry Dunn at Penn State, Kevin Eastman, who was assistant with the Boston Celtics and the Clippers, who was I worked with at UNC Wilmington. All those guys were great in terms of laid tremendous foundation and me as a coach. But I encourage people all the time to really get out and get and have mentors. And I have had, you know, from you know, Coach Ravlin was a huge mentor of mine, and a lot of people don't may not remember Coach George Ravlin, but he is someone that I really learned a lot from, spent a lot of time talking to about the profession, even when I was an assistant. Leonard Hamilton was someone that I looked up to and spent a lot of time with, and he's still in the profession. And Tubby, you know, but all those guys are guys that I you know, I didn't hesitate asking questions, and they're being resources to me. So I think it's a combination. You have people that help you grow in the business from experiences in terms of I work with, but then I have people that I look to as mentors that help me mold me into a coach, and their experiences. They gave me, and I feel like from a combination of all of that, you have, you know, I never stop learning. You know, I tell people all the time, you know, once you think you got this licked, you're going to retard your development. So I'm constantly trying to get better in my craft, in my profession. And, you know, I'm always trying to grow. And so I've been really blessed that I've had people that are willing to give to me and help me grow in this profession. So, but I go back to my beginning statement. I've been very blessed and the opportunities, and I encourage all young coaches to embrace those opportunities you get. And the one thing that the guys I work for allowed me to do, because so much in this profession is about recruiting. We talked about recruiting, and as a young black coach, black assistant, you know, you do a lot of recruiting, but the guys I work for allowed me to be involved with the total program. And, you know, whether it was speaking engagement, doing radio shows, or scouting, floor coaching, you know, or how do we get our bus for team travel, you know, meals for pregame meal. All of that is going to help you grow when you get your opportunity as a head coach, that you know how to run your program. And I was fortunate enough to work with people that allow me to be involved with the total program.
Coach Hayes, I thank you for your time. I've been a fan of yours for years. Like I said, we talked since 2014 at the SEC tournament, but I'm happy for your success at Tulsa. Hope to see you when it comes to Atlanta. Hope you play Georgia Tech, maybe or Georgia State or somebody here. We can see you there. You can get the town here and play Georgia and Athens, something like that, man. But I'm definitely a fan of yours for years, man. I'm happy for your success, Coach. I really am. I'm really proud of what you guys are doing out there at Tulsa with the Golden Hurricane.
Appreciate you, boss man. I appreciate you having me on, and let's do this again, my friend. God bless.
Same for you, Coach. Have a great day. I'm going to talk to you real soon, brother.
Okay.
It's Frank Capel on the Boss Man Show.
Grab a hold of Big Breakfast flavor at Hardee's. Try two breakfast sliders for just $2.99. Get Applewood smoked bacon or freshly grilled sausage with fluffy eggs and golden melty cheese all on a toasty little bun. Good morning, start at Hardee's. Available now for a limited time at participating restaurants. Tax not included.
I was back here on the Boss Man Show with you, man. Smitty, me here, Coach Matt McCall, a good buddy of mine, Coach McCall. Man, good to talk to you again. Good to see you as well, brother. How things are there? Amherst for you, my man.
Man, things are going great. It's great to see you too, Boss Man, and brings up a lot of memories, good memories we had down there in Chattanooga. I'll never forget, we're getting ready to play a game at Lipscomb. You were out there rebounding for our guys, trying to get our guys warmed up, man. So always appreciate the time we can spend together, and things are going well.
Yes, indeed. We're asking, how's your wife and your kids doing up there through all this COVID stuff, man? So how's that been for you guys?
You know, obviously, my wife's a lot's on her plate. My oldest is a first grader, and she's having to do all her education remotely because of where we live. So that's been a lot on my wife. But the kids are doing good. They're resilient, man. So everybody's healthy, which is the most important thing.
Let's go back to March. It was my birthday, March 11th, when everything kind of went crazy with the universe here. So where was your team at? How did you kind of approach it with your guys as, you know, things kind of was going crazy, all the unknown factors going from being on campus to being virtual and academically? How was it for you and your staff, Coach, and your players?
Yeah, Boss Man, I mean, it was a crazy, crazy time. We were, when everything started to escalate, we were on our way to Brooklyn to play in the Barclays Center in the A-10 tournament. It's the first time in 5 years that UMass had had a bye in the tournament. So we weren't playing on the first day of the tournament, but we did go by the Barclays Center because we were the first game in the next round on the next day. We were playing at noon. So we went by the Barclays Center and showed our guys the arena. I think Fordham was playing GW. We watched a little bit of that game just so those guys could get a feel. And then we went to the hotel and had a meal, and that was the same night that the Thunder were playing when they got taken off the floor for COVID. And obviously my relationship with Coach Donovan was pretty dialed into that. And as the night kind of went on, it just started to think, man, are we even going to play this game? Mm-hmm. And, you know, normally the night before the game, you're, you know, filling out your play card and you're not sleeping because your anxiety is about the game. And this was like, you kept checking your phone every 2 seconds on Twitter. Is everything going to get canceled? And woke up the next day, had our walkthrough, went to the Barclays and was walking out onto the floor with about 3 minutes to go before the tip was supposed to happen. And our ops guy, Brian Grossman, said to me, you know, they just canceled the SEC and the Big 12. And I'm walking out of the tunnel onto the floor in the Barclays. I'm like, are we playing? And then right then and there, as soon as I hit the floor, everything got canceled. So then, Boss Man, you're shifting to, all right, what are we going to tell our team? We have one senior, you know, but I think in that moment, I don't think, you know, we had a couple guys transfer from our program. You don't think, hey, man, this is the last time I'm going to see this group all together. And it was. And then, you know, they asked me to do media. I sent the bus back to the hotel, and, you know, we were in Brooklyn, so there's hundreds of media in there, and mm-hmm. media is over with. And I'm like, man, is it even safe to get in a cab or an Uber, right? And ended up walking 2 miles back to our hotel. But it was just pretty surreal. I think our players did a terrific job in the spring of staying on top of their academics, even though everything was remote. The biggest challenge was then, as we put together the roster that we have now, starting our team meetings, doing everything Zoom, that kind of got like, all right, like when are we coming back to campus, getting back to work? Like we're tired of talking through this computer, Coach. Like when can we get in the gym, you know? And we've been back since August 14th, Boss Man, and we've been tested, I think, 25 times, every individual in our program. We've had zero positives, so our guys are handling things the right way.
Now, how was it, Coach, trying to keep them engaged via Zoom? You know, for me, I see everybody personally. I hate to be on the computer seeing you, but I will just see you personally. But so how was trying to keep guys engaged via the Zoom platform, can I keep everybody from losing their sanity? Because I know for me, being caged up here at the house is not fun for me. I want to be out there with you guys. So how's that? How was that for you and your staff and your players?
It was a challenge. There's no question about it. You try to be creative. You try to do different things. The different coach talking every time, not just me hammering them with a message. Allow the assistant coaches to speak. Allow the players to even speak at times. You know, there was no question. It was a challenge. And it kind of got to the point where, you know, you didn't want to do it 2-3 times a week because how much are we really getting out of this? And it just kind of like, all right, now, you know, we got to August and it's like, all right, it's time to get back to campus and get to work.
Now, if we got about the August, coach, how did you kind of ramp your guys up? You know, you don't give them a nagging injury starting August. So how did you kind of ramp them up from some being inactive from March to August? How was that process for you and your staff there?
Well, you know, we started one coach, one ball, one basket. We did that probably for 6 or 7 workouts. And then we transitioned that into groups, did that for 6 or 7 workouts. Then we went team, no contact, did that for 6 or 7 workouts, and then an actual full practice. Knock on wood, we've been pretty healthy up to this point in time. But, you know, it has, you know, one guy gets a little dinged up here, he's out of practice. You know, but everybody's dealing with the same thing. Luckily for us, we haven't had to deal with the COVID piece of it yet, getting shut down for 2 weeks because of contact tracing. I think that is a huge hurdle for coaches to overcome in terms of, you know, you build all this up. We got strength, we've got conditioning, we got all this stuff. And then, you know, if you get shut down for 2 weeks, how does that affect what you're doing in practice when you come back?
Right.
And we haven't had to deal with that yet, but that's got to, no question, be a big, big challenge.
And you have a new roster, not newcomers on your roster, nor returns as well. Talk to us about your returns on your roster and the new guys as well. We got to look out for what you're thinking. I want my listeners here to keep checking out the Minutemen up there. I know you have a team, coach. But what I see on paper, you got a team up there, man.
Yeah, you know, boss man, it's been a you know, when I took the job here, obviously leaving a special place like Chattanooga. You know, I don't think I really knew exactly what I was walking into in terms of just where we were at this point in time, having to go through some very challenging, difficult years in order to get our culture right, for one, and in order to get the right guys in here. We now on our roster, we have, I think, 10 out of the 11 guys that are on scholarship currently right now are either from New England or went to prep school in New England. We're in Western Massachusetts, so that piece of it was big, wanting guys here that really, really wanted to be here. And we have that. When you talk about 10 out of your 11 that went to prep school up here, they've already been in the area, they've immersed. So we're excited about our team. We showed tremendous progress last year to be able to get a bye in the A-10 tournament, most A-10 wins in the last 5 years. I think it was the first time in a number of years that we started the season off 5-0. And we've got a really, really good core of those guys back, led by Trey Mitchell, who was A-10 Rookie of the Year. The numbers that he put up in the conference play last year were really second to none. I think there was one guy that was past him in scoring, and that just happened to be Obi Topping, a top 5 pick this year in this year's draft. So, you know, led by him, Carl Pierre is a guy that's been with me since day one here. Carl has been all about the program, all about the culture. Excited to have him back. TJ Weeks was actually leading us in scoring through 10 games last year. He then had an injury that took him out for the remainder of the season, but he's back. So those are really the core guys that you're bringing back to your team. And Debaji Walker was another guy that was a surprise that we got late. We got him eligible late that ended up having some big games, 20-plus points at certain points throughout the year. So we've got a good core back. And then just some of the new guys, boss man, Noah Fernandez, in-state kid. He's eligible right away. Went to Wichita State to start his career. Came back to Massachusetts. Javon Garcia went to Brewster Academy from the state of Ohio, just an electric guard. Got to be one of the better guards in our league for freshmen, no question about it. Cairo McCory, Ronnie DeGray, both Woodstock Academy prospects. played at a terrific prep school down there. Both are going to add a tremendous amount, as well as DeAndre Dominguez. I mean, we've got a really, really good group. Colton Mitchell's a guy that started, I want to say, 10 games for us last year, and really where we started to turn the corner and really win games at the end of the last year. A lot of it had to do because Colton was in there with his energy, with his effort. And then the last guy, boss man, is a guy named Mark Gasparini, a transfer from American that really can play multiple, will play the center spot for us. You'll see us play him and Mitchell together some because of both of their skill sets. So we've got a really good team, excited about this group. But the biggest piece for me with these guys is they're all really, really high character guys, which is exactly what you want, and that's how you win.
Most definitely. And coach, looking at you guys having to start back here November 25th, how did that affect your non-conference scheduling? Because I know you probably had the MCs on play trying to get guys up there, and also now have to worry about COVID restrictions with different states. So how has that been scheduling these games for the 25th here coming up here fast and furious?
Boss man, it's been a mess. It's been a mess. It's been a challenge. You go into the year, we were playing an MTE in Jamaica, okay? So, obviously that got canceled, and that was moving to Florida, okay? That made my mom really happy because we were going to play a game close to my hometown, right? Now that got canceled, and it's been a challenge. I think that because of all the restrictions and everything, we've really tried to put a schedule together for us to stay as regional as possible. Right, go down to the Mohegan Sun, which is right down the road for us, play some really quality opponents there, then put together some home games with local opponents. The A-10 we're most likely play maybe one game in December, so to free up some time later on in the year has been in the talk, but it's been a moving target. We feel like we've got a competitive schedule, but again, you don't know what's going to happen. You're lined up to play somebody, and someone on their team test positive, that game may get canceled. But so the biggest thing is just staying in the moment. What are we doing today? How can we get better today? That's the biggest thing. And the teams that can do that the best are the teams that are going to have the most success.
And, Coach, your conference, A-10, man, is tough, man. The competition every night in that conference, man, I watch the games on NBC Sports Network. I keep an eye on it. Man, bro, home or away, 1-14, man, it's tough, man.
You know what, boss man? My first year here, everyone talked about how down the A-10 was. And at that point in time, you had Rhode Island with Coach Hurley, and you had those guys, and they were like the cream of the crop with St. Bonaventure and the two terrific guards that they had. That was really my first year. Dayton was going through a transition. BCU was going through a transition. Obviously, Davidson's always going to be very, very good with the job that Coach McKillop does. But everyone talked about how the league was so down. Well, the league is back, and from the top to the bottom, okay? And I don't know that you can necessarily – this team is that every night is a battle, and you're in close games really every single night. And it's been that way since I've been here. But this year, I would say this is the best the league has been. Take nothing away from what Dayton did last year. That was remarkable. Anytime you can go undefeated in conference play in a league as competitive – as our league is phenomenal, but this is the best it's ever been. I don't think there is a huge gap between the best team to the middle team. It's really a toss-up. I think Richmond, with what they have coming back, essentially their whole team, the year that they had last year, being an NCAA tournament team, Davidson, St. Louis, I mean, everyone's talking about those three teams are up there at the top. Dayton's got a lot of guys back. BCU, Rhode Island's got one of the best guards in the league coming back. I mean, there ain't no off nights, but really,
yeah, right.
Who handles all this stuff the best? I think teams are really going to have to try and grow through their non-conference. It's different too, boss man, because normally we get to play a scrimmage, we get an exhibition. We don't get that, right? So the ball's going to get thrown up for us on November 26th. And it's really – you've got to go through some stuff. You got to mature as a team through some of these non-league games. And then once, the end of December hits and your first league game comes around, that hopefully your team is growing by that point, and then the team that plays the best is going to win the league.
That's what I got for you, Coach. Can't believe it's been 4 years at UMass already, man. I can't believe it's been 4 years.
I've aged, boss man. I've aged. But always appreciate you, man. And the time we had down there. I used to love you coming down to games and in McKenzie Arena at Chattanooga. And you're a good friend and appreciate everything you've done for me.
Anytime, Coach McCall. Don't be cheering for you, buddy. You know I got special respect in my heart for you, man. So I'm going to be cheering for you in a minute, man, for sure.
My man, I appreciate you, boss, man. Stay safe down there.
You too, brothers. Talk to you real soon, man.
You got it, brother.
All right.
Sally Beauty's new all-in-one hair color kits make it easy to color your hair at home. Get everything you need to color for beautifully radiant results. Loved by professionals, open to everyone. Sally Beauty.
All right, folks, back on the Boss Man Show. Time for my segment with Coach Kenny Blakely of the Howard Bison. Coach, good to talk to you. Week two of our segments, man. How you busy last talk, Coach?
Everything's good, boss, man. How are you, man?
Coach, I'm feeling great, man. Early November, time change. It's still warm in Georgia here, so we got that going for us right now.
Yeah, I know, man. Being in D.C., the election process is just taking place. They're counting up the ballots right now. And we're about 22 days away from our first game, man. So 3 weeks away from our first game. So it's an exciting time here in Washington, D.C.
Well, Coach, let me to our first question. How has practice been going for you and your team? How have preparations been going? How far have you guys progressed since we last talked 2 weeks ago?
Yeah, practice has been going really well. Our guys have been putting in the effort, and I'm really excited about the progress that we're making. You know, it's one of those things, man, that I think as you continue to scrimmage against yourself and practice against one another, hopefully it doesn't get mundane. But with the NCAA rules that they put in place this year with no exhibition games and no scrimmages, it's going to make it really tough for our guys, you know, not to have that opportunity to compete before our first game. So we're just trying to keep things exciting and upbeat and at a pace that they love to play at.
Does it mean more contact, Coach, than usual? I know a lot of times you don't go live too much. So does that mean a little bit more contact, a little bit more actual live or 5-on-5 scrimmage in there?
Yeah, we've definitely, boss man, have done more scrimmages this year. Maybe not for a longer period of time, but certainly in segments than we worked on last year, just for that particular reason. So some of the things that we're trying to do last Saturday, we went four 10-minute quarters to try to simulate a little bit of a game-type situation with the 40 minutes, but to run the guys a little bit longer than they probably would run with their 4-minute kind of segments during a normal game with the TV timeouts. So we're just trying to think outside the box what our players may need, what our team may need right now to try to get prepared for our first game on November 26th.
Now, Coach, when y'all make a practice plan during this weird time, I know that has to be also a headache for you to try to make the right practice plan, make sure you did the right drill work, the right amount of shell work. So how was that being too? Along with trying to get everything else going for you guys.
Well, I mean, boss man, it's crazy because with, you know, remote school right now, and we have a kind of like a, you know, different guys that are different grades in terms of years in school. We have some guys that we have one gentleman that's a grad student. So, you know, he'll miss a considerable amount of practice. We have other guys that have classes and you know, here at Howard, you know, the classwork and the schoolwork, you know, precedence everything else in terms of athletics and what we're trying to do, and rightfully so. So we have guys coming in and out of practice. Sometimes we have 9 guys, and I might have to jump into a drill to make 10 for about 2 seconds before I realize I'm not supposed to be out there. But no, it's been fascinating in trying to be creative to give our guys what they need. We've done a whole lot of stuff on 4-on-4, and even in segments where we've done, you know, for the first month and a half, it was just a lot of 4-on-4-on-4, where we've been trying to introduce a lot of new concepts and new thoughts, new ideas to what we're trying to do offensively and defensively.
And Coach, what I've learned from talking to a lot of coaches around the country is that the team shooting has gotten better because of not being able to actually play. They've had a lot of shooting drills and getting better with shooting basketball, Coach. So how has that been with your guys shooting the ball more by themselves, working on one individually? So how are all your young men's shots progressed so far?
Yeah, we were already last year, boss man, one of the top 100 three-point shooting teams in the country. And that's a big thing for our program. So the type of young men that we want to bring in, and we want to recruit to be a part of our program is you know, guys that can really, really shoot the ball and that are super skilled. So it's certainly something that we've emphasized in our workouts and in our practices. It's something that I hope carries over to our season when we begin.
And Coach, I got to tell you, we got great feedback about our segments, Coach, from last time. And what I told people is, good for Coach Blake, because he got his roster from Charlotte and Columbia, which is 3 hours of the road from here, and I-85 club is 4 hours away east of here. So you got two young men on your roster with some regional appeal to guys. So tell us about those young men on your roster from Columbia and Charlotte, North Carolina, for my listeners here who are very excited to hear about, you know, that you have some guys on the roster from this area.
Well, you know, to have guys well, one, we can't talk about prospects. We can't mention them by name. But we do have some young men. We have Khalil Robinson that's from Columbia, South Carolina, that's on our roster. Mm-hmm. My whole family, boss man, is from that Charlotte area down in North Carolina, Monroe, Kannapolis, Pageland, South Carolina, that Rock Hill area. So I'm very familiar with that area, and certainly we have ties there. Howard is one of those brands that really resonates, and we have a nice alumni following down there. So we want to continue to stay diligent on the recruiting trail down in North and South Carolina, that Georgia area, which has been such a fertile ground for basketball talent over the years, and see if we can make some inroads there as well as other places in the country.
Most definitely, Coach. That's why I was telling people, my listeners, hey, this is great for Coach Blake's program, because I play at Howard's, a top 100 university in the nation. And I want to help this program grow and help Coach grow this program. So I'm happy to do this for Coach, because I tell you, a lot of guys in Atlanta can come up there and help you out. I hope they will do it for you, Coach, along with your DMV guys as well, man.
No doubt. Well, there's so many really good AAU programs in the Atlanta area, and so many high schools have done a great job, and teaching down there is superior. Some of our really good friends are part of some of those organizations and schools down there, and I've followed them for years. So I know what kind of job those guys are doing down there on that AAU grassroots level and the high school level, and even the player development side of the basketball. So, you know, we're going to keep being diligent, develop those relationships, and hopefully we can show those young men in those areas what the future of Howard basketball is all about.
Now, Coach, Chris Paul, man, the Move app will be wearing the Bison, man, on his sneakers. Man, tell us about that. I saw that on the website. I want to get listening to hear about Chris Paul, where he has going. So what are your thoughts on him representing the Bison with his new Move app initiative?
Well, I think Chris Paul has been one of the champions, if not the champion, of HBCU. We have a student on campus that has a brand called Heritage, Legacy, and Pride that Chris Paul kind of exclusively wore inside the bubble when the NBA returned down in Orlando. Every day he was repping either a different HBCU in terms of his gear, or had an HBCU on his Jordan brand sneakers that he wore during the games. And with those Jordan brand sneakers, he auctioned all of them off and donated all the funds to the men and women programs of those certain HBCUs that he was representing on his shoes, which is, you know, Chris Paul is such a guy that's been somebody that has led, he's serving, and he's giving back. And that's such a wonderful thing for, you know, Chris CP3 to do. And, you know, he has a direct connection with HBCUs like a lot of us does. I think he said that all his family have gone to HBCUs, and he's enrolled currently in Winston-Salem State, where he is about to get his undergraduate degree. So, I thank Chris, all the things that he's done for our universities and looking out for all the HBCUs. As he's been on his journey to bring more awareness to those different universities.
And Coach, also saw we have you being the Mako Duke Classic, Metal Classic, man. You're going to play in Elon and Bellarmine. I said on Coach Davenport last week, actually, and Duke will be playing the same schools. Well, tell us about that. How you and Coach K came together on this the Duke Medical Classic, the Mako Classic, and tell us also about your relationship with Coach K. And people don't know you played for him. Tell us more about how you and him still connected and how he's helping out the Howard Bison as well.
Yeah, well, with the Duke Classic, it was something that he reached out to me about. I had saw it online, and I actually reached out to him because, you know, with COVID and then all of the different, you know, areas that are being affected right now, a lot of games are being canceled. Teams can't find games. And at the time, I was just searching for games. So I saw that there was a leak of a Duke MEET that was going to take place. So I immediately reached out to him and said, hey, like, you know, if there's an opportunity for us to be a part of this, please let us be a part of it. He had talked about some other schools that he had reached out to, but if anything fell through, he would love to consider us to be a part of it. So when, you know, some things fell through, he reached out to me. We had several conversations about it. We jumped on it immediately because to be associated with, you know, anything that he's doing and anything that's affiliated with Duke University, my alma mater, is something special and unique to us. You know, one thing we have at Duke is something called the Brotherhood. And, you know, in that Brotherhood, we talk about us taking care of one another. All my staff, I have myself, I have Tyler Thornton, who's a Duke grad, and Thomas Hill, who also is a Duke grad. And then, you know, my agent is someone that I played with, Carmen Wallace. So we got, you know, just in my immediate circle is four guys from the Brotherhood, but we're all African-American. And that was really important for me to connect the dots back to Duke, but also connect the dots with our race and with our heritage.
Most definitely, Coach. And playing, and I feel bad because of Coach Devin, before he started from scratch. They're going to A-Sun, come from D2, man. And Bellarmine, man, he's a great guy to talk to, man. I know you play him at Elon as well, North Carolina as well. So, I mean, you got two good games, man. And Bellarmine's had a history of being good in D2 for all those years, man. So, those will be tough games for you and your staff to prepare for. But I know you all can probably pull it out. I got colleagues in the Bison and you, Coach. I know you all do it.
Well, I think when I saw the two opponents, I was like, oh, heck, Coach K set me up. But, you know, I think early on for us to go against Mike Scroggie and the good Bellarmine team and well-coached Bellarmine team, and Mike's doing a super job down at Elon, it's not going to do anything but prepare us for the season and with all the tough MEAC competition that we're going to have to face this year. So we're excited about those opponents to be able to play those guys that do such a good job. You know, the Bellarmine program has come from a D2 program to a D1, but they've had so much, you know, success in at their level in beating Division I teams. And I only see that, you know, moving forward with those guys doing the same things. The other thing is that, you know, with Mike Scroggie, the places he's been, he's studied under Coach K for a number of years. He was at Ohio State and other places. You know, he's one of the most, you know, he's a young, well-respected coach that's going to get that Elon program turned around real soon. So we're looking forward to both of those games and being part of the Coach K and Duke University MTE.
I saw you at the D.C. Pirates Jam. You have a coach, and I saw you playing Belmont be part of George Mason and Northeastern. Now, Belmont, you know, I'm a Tennessee State guy, Coach, and that's right down street from Tennessee State. So my mom is a Lipscomb girl, so my mom cannot stay at Belmont that she went to Lipscomb. That's their rival on Belmont Boulevard. So for me, I know that's where I'm very well, Casey Alexander, for a good friend of mine as well. So, and George Mason's always in A-10 doing something like Northeastern as well. So, I mean, Coach, you got a heck of a four teams coming to D.C. to play you guys, man, at the not your place, but another place in D.C. that you're playing at. So, tell us more about that MC as well, Coach.
Yeah, well, the Paradise Jam, as you mentioned, with Belmont, George Mason, Northeastern. Again, three really good head coaches that can coach their tails off and three really good programs. You know, we're going to have our work cut out for us. And you know, one of the things is that a lot of people to the outside observer may not know a lot about these universities, the Belmonts or the Bellarmines or the Elons or, you know, the Northeasterns. But they're all really, really good basketball programs, and they are going to challenge us and make us think and react in a way that is certainly going to be good for us, especially going into the MEAC conference. We're looking forward to the Paradise Jam. we have an extremely young team and a lot of guys that haven't played a lot of minutes. And it's going to be one of our first three games. We open up on the 26th, 27th, and 28th. So we're going to have those challenges and be throwing our guys to the fire right away. But I hope they respond. I know we'll be prepared, and it should be a lot of fun.
Most definitely, Coach. Now, Bill Cohen's done a great job up there in the CAA, and then Coach George Mason always said, they always tough. He counted like your neighbors almost, too, right over the river there. So he's regional flow as well.
Absolutely. No doubt about it. The George Mason game is going to be a little local rivalry. All these guys, they play down in Georgetown during the summer in the Kenner League, which is one of the best summer leagues in the country. So a lot of these guys have played high school ball against one another or AAU ball with on the same team. So it should be a lot of fun and great for the city.
And, Coach, I know they're still on the website. And go get tickets to see you guys play. Dollar deposit at GBison.com. So, now, what's the word for fans coming to your games so far? Is the mayor kind of clear that for you guys to have fans at your games so they can get those tickets, come see you guys play with that deposit? So how's that going for you guys, Coach?
Yeah, right now things are still up in the air. We are on 100% lockdown. School is all remote right now, but we are going into a hybrid form, I think, starting in January. So that may open up, and I have opportunities for people to come watch us play a little bit. Maybe it's at a 25% occupancy, but I think having some people in the stands, if it's safe, versus not having any people in the stands is still better. But, you know, we want to certainly protect the health and the well-being of our students, our student athletes, and people in the community here in Washington, D.C.
A little light question for you, Coach, to finish off today, Coach. Tell us a great food spot to go to in D.C. We come to D.C. from Atlanta. Where should we go get us some food in D.C., Coach? Tell us a good spot or two.
Well, I think you have to try to find any spot that has chicken and mambo.
Okay.
So mambo is a sauce that we put on fried chicken wings here in D.C. And it is sort of a D.C. legacy. Most of the D.C., we call them carryouts, but a lot of people call them grab and goes now, carry chicken and mambo. So if you ever can find a place that has really good chicken and mambo, that is the place I would recommend. There's a couple places that are my go-tos, the Hamilton, another spot called Duffy's, another spot over on the uptown side on 14th Street called Smokey's. That's my go-to spot. When I'm on the upside side of town in Washington, D.C. But those are three spots that are my favorite for chicken and mambo.
Coach, you the man. So, folks, come to D.C. You know where to go, man. Coach gave me the idea. Chicken and mambo sauce. Man, I love it, Coach. I'm putting it on my list as well, man, when I come up there and see you guys, man.
Boss, man, I can't wait, man, for us to get out and to show you around town and also introduce you to some delicious D.C. cuisine.
Oh, I can't wait, because I love to eat, man. So I can't wait for that, buddy.
I'm right there with you, boss, man. It'll be fun.
Coach, man, thank you for your time today. Good to do this 2 more weeks. I can't wait to talk to you again, my brother. Be safe, Coach. Look forward to it, man.
Absolutely, man. Stay well. I hope you guys down in Georgia figure out this election thing and look forward to the right outcome coming from the count of everything down in Georgia.
Yes, indeed, Coach. Hey, prayers up as we speak, man.
Absolutely. Take care, boss, man. Be good.
Hey, see you, Coach. Be good, buddy.